commences evening between 513. In mounts of danger and of straits, my soul for his salvation waits. Jehovah Jireh will appear and save me from my gloomy fear. 513.
The reading of the Word of God is first from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 14, and we'll commence reading at verse 53, and then the last chapter, chapter 16. Gospel according to Mark, chapter 14, commence reading at verse 53, then chapter 16 of the Gospel as recorded by Mark. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. There arose a certain and bare false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands." But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" Jesus said, "I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, "What need we any further witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. Some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, to say unto him, "Prophesy." And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. And as Peter was beneath the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "Art thou also wast with Jesus of Nazareth?" But he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest. He went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And the maids saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." And he denied it again. A little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto." He began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom ye speak." And the second time the cock crew, Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, "Before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice." When he thought thereon, he wept. Chapter 16. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had brought sweet spices, that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, the first day of the week, They came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? When they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. They were affrighted. He said unto them, Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. They went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. She went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraideth them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, sat on the right hand of God. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. The Lord bless the reading of his word. Help us in prayer. Grant, O Lord, humility, godly fear. Grant to us a spirit of prayer. May thy Holy Spirit instruct us how to pray and what to pray for. We thank thee for the mediator, the man that stands between in garments dyed in blood. We would seek therefore grace and faith to plead his name as we bring our burdens and our cares to thee. Dear Lord Jesus, abide with us. The day is far spent. Abide with us this night. Pour out in this place thy Holy Spirit, Lord, that we might be, each of us, under his influence. Lord, we read of the Holy Spirit that he shall teach you all things. we read the promise that thou wilt give the Holy Spirit to them that ask. We ask for his help, for his divine teaching. Oh, let there be, dear Lord, a purpose of our attending this thy house this night. A gracious purpose, and if it could please thee, an eternal purpose. Lord, thou hast said, so shall my word be, that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. Dear Lord, we pray for the proving of that promise. We're thankful also, Lord, that thou hast also promised to be with thy people, even though it be two or three. Dear Lord, we pray thou would indeed confirm that blessing upon us. Sinners we are, but Lord, may we have the sweet token that thou art in the midst. But what we do pray, Lord, especially, that thou would have a work to do in this place this night. Oh, thou hast given us hearing, and what a blessing. But Lord, may there be a sacred hearing, a personal hearing. Lord, thou to speak to thy children. Wilt thou speak to them tonight? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Oh, may we be hearers then in the house of God. Lord, we pray for each that feel themselves to be ruined sinners. Lord, we pray for those who seek for forgiveness and pardon. Lord, may faith be given to look to Jesus. There is a fountain open for sin and uncleanness. Lord, we read in the Old Testament, in that day, Lord, may this be the day, in the experience of many, if not all, in that day there shall be a fountain open for the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness. Oh, Lord, what need there is to be washed and cleansed from all sin. Lord, and only thy precious blood can indeed bring this forth. Lord, if there's no application of the blood, may there be a seeking spirit for it. May there be in the hearts of each a desire to know it. The peace-speaking blood of Christ. Lord, help thy children to thank thee for the mercies that are in Christ. Perhaps mercies which are at this time to be sought after. Mercies which perhaps has not been fully understood by the experience of them. But in the heart there is that desire for them. Lord, hear our prayers. We prayed, Lord, for thee to be here, but thou art not confined to bricks and mortar. Lord, be with us each in the pathway and in the way appointed. Lord, bless, we pray thee, the gospel. Oh, may there be those who shall feed from the truth. May there be those who shall have the sweet experience of the mercies of the gospel. Lord, we think of those words, or may it be directed into someone's heart, Lord, as a word of comfort. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Lord, we need to pray, Lord, for some sweet experience of the mercy of the gospel. Art thou precious, Lord Jesus? Art thou precious in the want of thee? Art thou precious in the experience of thee? And Lord, may there be those here tonight that have come seeking a token of thy special love. Oh Lord, we do pray therefore that this hour and a half that we spend in thy house may not be a barren time, Lord, but may it be a season of sweet refreshment in our souls. Lord, hear us for all ages. Hear us, Lord, for all that have responsibilities here. We think of those, Lord, that are raised up and carry the burden of the cause. And we believe it is a burden, but it is a burden which they have brought to thee. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Or may they be encouraged and to wait upon thee and for thee. And may their petitions be heard and answered. Lord, do things in this place that shall be for the good of precious souls, but for thy glory, praise and honour. Lord, make this house of God to be a very sacred spot to each, if it could please thee, Lord, personally, that here in amongst this people there shall be those visits. Lord, and we pray that it may be so even at this time. Visits from Jesus. Lord, hear prayer for the preaching. And hear prayer for the preacher. Lord, thy servant needs help, needs grace. And Lord, so do we. But oh, may he have liberty, may he be granted light and liberty. As he speaks in thy holy name, grant him seals to his ministry, souls for his hire. But we do especially pray, Lord, that for all preachers, Lord, that they may seek thy glory and honour in their preaching, and a witness, Lord, of the Spirit's work, Lord, through the word. Lord, hear prayer for pastors, hear prayer for itinerant ministry. Lord, hear prayer for those who have reached old age or infirmity and cannot preach. Lord, we pray that thou would grant them the grace to be still. And we pray too that in their place there shall be others raised up and thrust out who shall be willing to preach the everlasting gospel. But Lord, what is the preaching without the Spirit? What is the preaching without the application? Dear Lord, what is the preaching without the experience? Oh Lord, in this sanctuary, Lord, may there be many that shall be made willing to walk in the ways of thy command. Lord, in this place may there be songs of rejoicing. Oh Lord, then will I tell to sinners round we sing, what a dear Saviour I have found. Lord, what is needed? The eyes of faith, Lord, to be opened. Oh Lord, show thyself, reveal thyself as the way, the truth and the life. Hear us, Lord, for prosperity in Zion, that thou wilt return, if it could please thee, to the gatherings of thy people. Lord, and strengthen the things which remain. Oh, may there be many evidences, Lord, granted, open evidences, as well as those secret evidences. Lord, thou dost work within, Lord, before it is revealed to the brethren. Hear us too, as we would remember all in affliction and tribulation. Lord, give grace where it is needed. Submission to thy will Lord, remember the young and rising race that gather in this place. Lord, from them may there be many a testimony and many a soul, a Lord, that shall be able to rejoice and be glad in their knowledge of mercy. Lord, how many pray for mercy? Lord, only those who need mercy. Lord, in this congregation may there be gathered many that shall need mercy. Mercy, O God, I make my plea. O God, be merciful to me. Lord, it is a great blessing if we can come to those times when it is between our soul and thee, these favours, these blessings, these times of refreshment. Lord, personal, singular, is a sacred time and season to come into. And yet, Lord, wilt thou build and strengthen the things, therefore, that remain. Lord, we live in a sad day, and we live in a wicked land. Lord, keep us from the world, keep us from the spirit of the world, keep us from possessing what the world possesses. Lord, may we indeed pray to be separated in heart and affection from the world and from the company of the world. Lord, we think of the dear disciple that we have read about. Lord, he was left to speak like the world. Lord, that we might be each of us blessed with the spirit of grace to speak like the children of God. Oh, keep us from the evil of the world, Lord, in all ways and manners. But may we be brought to testify again and again, Lord, and through that testimony, the evidence of grace. Lord, keep us therefore from the world and all its sinful ways. We've got an old nature, Lord, subdue it. And only grace can subdue it. If we have grace, Lord, we shall have glory. Prepare us for that change which surely awaits us, Lord. A few more days or months and years in this wide wilderness to roam, a few more sighs, a few more tears, and we shall bid adieu to pain. Oh, prepare us for that eternal preparation. Help us to plead what Jesus himself said, I go to prepare a place for you. Lord, the most unlikely of sinners, and it is the place that Jesus Christ and me to go to Calvary first, to take away the sins and the iniquities. Oh, prepare us, gracious God, then, to stand before thy face. Now hear our petitions, pardon our sins, as we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hymn 893. If guilt pursue thee with its cry, and would to prison hail, to Jesus Christ the surety fly, and he will give in bail. 893.
helping us. I would direct your attention to the Gospel as recorded by Mark chapter 16 and verse 7. The 16th chapter of Mark's Gospel and verse 7. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. I hope we have a text this night that the Lord will be pleased to use. You may wonder why that the seventh verse is the text. It is the text because it was laid upon my mind in the house of God Wednesday night, this word, and Peter. Why did not the Holy Spirit speak about his disciples and leave these two words out? But go your way, tell his disciples that he goeth before you into Galilee. But he must needs put those two words in. Why did he put those two words in? Well, the reason for reading chapter or those verses from chapter 14 was, of course, the slips and falls that are recorded there of this Apostle Peter. If he should have recorded in that word or left and Peter out, what distress, if not despair, would come upon this highly favoured disciple. I was going to say, and it wouldn't be out of place to say, have we such a sinner in the house of God tonight who has been tempted or is tempted that he's sinned beyond the covenant? That it is impossible that such a sinner as you can ever possibly be in glory with Christ. You must remember, dear friends, that this dear apostle knew Jesus. He was a follower and a believer in Jesus. You remember that in another gospel we read, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, whom do men say that I am? And various answers was given, and he turned the question to his disciples, and he said, whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. As there needs be, dear friends, amongst the believing family of God, for a personal word. And I don't believe that a true believer in Jesus is satisfied with what I might call just the general promises or truths that are recorded in his word. But they would seek for a word for themselves. When you come to the house of God, dear friends, I trust it would be right to say, but you believe in the gospel and you believe in the way of salvation that is recorded. But if you come into the house of God as a living soul, dear friends, it will be to hear for yourself. And I'm not putting words into scripture which are not there, but you can consider, dear friends, if the words from the angel to these dear disciples or believers in Jesus, if those words left the apostle out, it would be deemed that his sins had removed him from the covenant, and those truths that he had known of Jesus. You know, it says, isn't it, in some Gospels, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Have we such a soul in the Lord's house tonight? Dear friends, who would deem that he came into the world to save sinners, but they cannot draw near enough or cannot receive the truth in the blessing of it, that they are amongst the sinners that he came to save. Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. It's a sore temptation, isn't it, when you can sit in God's house and look upon the children of God, or upon those who you know are believers in Jesus, and you feel well assured of their standing. You know, the hymn says, "How stands the case, my soul, with thee?" That is the question, dear friends, which rests on many a spirit. Is Jesus Christ thine only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? Go your way and tell his disciples and Peter. The dear apostle is known, of course, for his impetuous way of speaking. He spoke before he considered what he said. But he was also a sinner. Dear friends, indeed, there are times, as you know, and you do know, or at least those who have the grace of God, how that sometimes sin or a sinful nature seems to gain the ascendancy. In the covenant of grace, God has a people. I looked at a hymn just now before we came in chapel, and it says it all, if I could find it. Yes, the very worst of sinners, who upon his grace rely, shall of endless bliss be winners, and shall sing beyond the sky songs of praises to the Lamb that once did die. If you and I are the subjects of his grace, therefore we are partakers of a spiritual life, and have that hope at times beyond the grave we shall be found with Christ, which is far better. But at the same time, you will know, dear friends, what it is to be tried by the tempter. Oh, how many of us have, been persuaded that the depths of iniquity are such that there cannot be any hope. You know, I've ever been thankful for the comfort of those words in the first epistle of John. "And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Should it not be all sin, what hope would there be? What opportunity Satan would have? It is true, it would be, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from sin." But what temptation it would be to a child of God if the word "all" wasn't there. But it is there. Dear friends, and you and I, like Peter of old, will bless him and thank him, because whatever Peter said didn't bar him from the covenant of grace. It didn't erase a work of grace in his soul. didn't take away his affection to Christ or from Christ. Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. There seems to be, dear friends, something very precious. It was as though Christ, who indeed knows the pathway of all believers, it is as though he would send a special word to the apostle that he was still in the covenant of grace, that nothing that he had said or nothing that he had done had taken his name from the Lamb's Book of Life. There's no eraser, dear friends, in glory. There's no means whereby the names of the children of God are left out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Whom once he loves, he never leaves, but loves them to the end. But also this, dear friends, who is troubled more by sin but a child of God? Those who are destitute of spiritual life, those who roam through this wilderness in this dead in trespasses and sins condition, they're certainly not concerned with the welfare of their soul. But the work of grace and the mercy of that work will make them aware not only of the blessing of his grace, but also the tempter's power in them to remove all comfort and to remove all help. What did they say when he was crucified? If thou be the Son of God, save thyself and us. Dear friends, before he was baptized, or after he was baptized rather, he was sorely tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And I've often thought the beginning, as you might say, of this glorious pathway of the Lord Jesus Christ, and even at the end, Satan was ready to sow distress if he could. But he couldn't, not the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was speaking to the Son of God, who is holy and harmless and undefiled. When he speaks to you and me, or reminds us solemnly of the sins that we have committed, it is to cast us down and to distress us. It is to tempt us that we stand before a holy and a just God. But does these ways affect you graciously? Dear friends, you that know what it is to be accused of Satan, you that know what it is to be cast down by the tempter, dear friends, what is the result of it? Well, you may well listen to the tempter, as we do sometimes, but doesn't it have another effect? Doesn't it bring you to seek him out, who has given you an interest in his dying love, to see how it is with you? How stands the case, my soul, with thee? Is heaven thy credentials clear? Is Jesus' blood thine only plea? Is he thy great forerunner there? 'Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? Dear friends, when the children of God are troubled, as they are so often, why would they be troubled if it wasn't grace? Dear friends, are these so-called Christians that speak about their Christianity and their their doings? Are they troubled? I heard a minister on Wednesday, and I can't think how he came to say this, speaking the difference between the sin or the pathway, rather, of a free willer as against the pathway of a believer. One said to the other, "Your pathway has two letters in it, do." He said, "My pathway's got done written on it." That's the difference. Dear friends, the way of grace as against the works of man. "Go your way," tell his disciples and Peter, "that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you." To those who hope in the mercy of God, to those who have had at times some sweet communion, some encouragement, which only grace can give a poor sinner, it won't exclude them from the tempter. Rather than it will be often the trouble is that a grace-taught child will know more of the tempter since he has been brought under grace and under divine teaching that he ever knew before. It's the opposition. Dear friends, if you've got what I call a real religion, a spiritual religion, a work of grace which the Holy Spirit is the author of, you'll find you've got more opposition now than you had in your unregenerate days. When it was nothing more than attending the house of God, perhaps, or nothing more than the bare letter of the word, you attended, you heard the word, you read the word, you would believe the word, but not to the salvation of your soul. Do you know, when God begins a work of grace in the soul, Satan will attempt to overthrow his work. One of the mysteries, and yes, it's one of the evidences, dear friends, that a child of God is experienced in. He has blessings, innumerable blessings and favours, which is so undeserved. But he also is a subject of sore temptation because of the way and because of the work of grace. "Go your way," tell his disciples and Peter, "that he goeth before you into Galilee." Dear friends, the truth you and I have to be taught often, that we have an unchangeable God that deals with us. An unchangeable God. If he begins with you, it is out of love and out of mercy. Dear friends, he's never lost a soul that has been the subjects of grace. They're eternally safe. Dear friends, and they always will be. But they will be subject to the tempter. I would suppose, and I don't say that out of that I'm not sure, but I would say it out of this assurance, that a soul that would have you to believe he was a Christian. I remember some years back now, someone who I believe was a Pentecostal. But she said to me, "Why do you keep talking about sin? It's all gone. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross and sin's removed. It's dead." And I said, "Well, you might be, but I'm not. I'm conscious of sin now as ever." Dear friends, this is the truth they want to believe. There's no opposition to their spiritual life. There's no doubts and fears rise up within. They don't know what it is to apply at the throne of grace for evidences. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may be ashamed. I would feel this, dear friends, would this not be true of you, believers, that you come to the house of God to be assured, to be satisfied with the mercy that you have received, or that you come to receive tokens of his special love? Dear friends, if he calls you by his grace, you're eternally safe. I remember, and I'll say it as it came to me, I sat in the gallery at Hanover Chapel, burdened with sin, and one that was dear to me in those days turned and said, "You know, if you could only see, you're as safe as the angel Gabriel." Well, the angel Gabriel didn't need salvation. But I hope I believe I understood what he meant by it. "Go your way," tell his disciples and Peter. Dear friends, there's no division between the Church of Christ and Jesus Christ. No division. Oh, the sin, the old man, the nature, the old man's nature is just as bad as it ever was, if not worse. If you have grace, dear friends, you'll know that you're still a sinner. Nothing, not even grace, and I say it very carefully, dear friends, the grace of God will indeed bind you to Christ, and you'll live on him. Dear friends, but it will never cleanse away your old nature. But your old nature, which was no trouble to you before then, will be the trouble to you till you pass into eternity. But you know what a blessing it is that sinners are not left out of the comforts of the gospel. This man came into the world to save sinners. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And what work he does, and what work the Holy Spirit does in confirming a child of grace as being amongst the people of God, dear friends, will always receive opposition. I don't suppose, dear friends, that when you was dead in trespasses and sins, that it concerns you a moment. But I do believe this, dear friends, that once the grace of God works in the soul and grants you tokens of his eternal love and mercy, it is then, of course, that opposition will rise up against the work of Jesus Christ. But you and I need this word, or you need, dear friends, the mercy of the word. How you long for these times, dear friends, when you come up to the house of God, to the sanctuary, to hear something of confirmation, a sweet confirmation of his work. There's a hymn that creeps into my memory, which I'll have to look up. "Ah, but for free and sovereign grace, I still had lived estranged from God, till hell had proved the destined place of my deserved but dread abode. But oh, amazed I see the hand that stopped me in my world career, a miracle of grace I stand. The Lord has taught my heart to fear his name, to trust his grace, to learn his will be my employ, till I shall see him face to face. Himself my heaven, himself my joy." Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. What a mercy, dear friends, when you and I can be brought to be sustained and upheld under Satan's temptation. It says in the word of God, and thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember no more. Dear friends, that's a most precious word, isn't it? But I tell you, dear friends, I say it very solemnly. You won't forget them. Neither will Satan. Dear friends, the word resurrection has a wonderful sense of mercy to the children of God. But dear friends, I know this, that the old nature and all its sins are often resurrected. Comes back to the mind, as it were, and troubles and distresses. The Lord's work, dear friends, is a complete work. When the Lord was about to die on the cross, we read he cried with a loud voice, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost. But the work of grace in a soul is not finished, not till the day you shall be taken home to glory. But dear friends, how often, you're surely not amongst these people who think that you're therefore complete and finished, nothing to be concerned with. Why did the man write the hymn, "Show me a token, Lord, for good, a token of thy special love. Show me that I am born of God, that my treasure is above." I knew somebody once who criticised, I expect you've heard me say this before, forgive me, but he criticised the hymn, "'Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought, do I love the Lord or no, am I his, or am I not?" He criticised it in my hearing. So I turned to him and I said, "You know why you don't like it?" And he said, "No." I said, "Because you've never been where the hymn writer's been. That's why you don't like it. You never feel the need of confidence and comfort restored." Oh, dear friends, what a mercy. It does not offend the Lord of life and glory. Poor sinners seek to be assured of their interest in him. What a sacred blessing, dear friends, if you've got some token of his special love resting upon you. There's a word, isn't there, in the Psalm 119. "Remember the word unto thy servant upon which thou hast called me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word has quickened me." And dear friends, those who pray for a token or seek to be reminded, it is unprofitable, you know, if you're able, as grace is given you, to go back over the way and seek from the Lord to be reminded of the mercies and the favours which you have received. How he met with you on the way. There's times and seasons and there's places and spots of ground that the Lord has communed with you. And they are joyous times, they are seasonable times. But dear friends, what solemn it is, as much as great as the blessings of his favours are towards his people, so in opposition to the blessings that the Holy Spirit is the author of, will be these times, dear friends, when you are brought to be distressed and dismayed. But that you have and I have, if we have anything at all, dear friends, we have a source, a foundation. We have a place to go to. Dear friends, and you and I will be found returning, as it were, to the blessing, to the place, to know these mercies revived and strengthened again in our soul. I know this, dear friends, some of the exercises that the servants of God are indeed the some of these temptations that they are troubled with, questions their right to be in a pulpit. And Satan will say, "Well, where's the evidence? Where's the evidence that anything of all this preaching has accomplished anything? Dear friends, the word says, and I have to remind the Lord, and I say it very carefully, so shall my word be. I remember being very troubled concerning a certain exercise in my soul, that I watched the hand of God, I listened for his voice, and so on. I came to this conclusion that the word was either from God or it wasn't. It was either the workings of old nature or it was a trial of faith. And I went up to the house of God with this one desire, that he would confirm to me that the exercise that I was carrying at that time for this particular purpose was from God. And the dear old servant of God used to preach here, as you know, who was our pastor at Norwich. His text was changed, he said. And the text that he was given to speak from was that word, concerning the word, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and prosper in the thing whereto I have sent it. Well, it was a great comfort to me, that was. Great comfort. Because I knew, though it was a trial, because I was waiting for those words, or that I was persuaded would come to pass, I was waiting for him. Dear friends, how mercy, what a mercy there is in this seventh verse. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, the one that needed to be told. Yeah, I say it again, I've repeated myself, dear friends, more than once tonight. But, dear friends, is this how you come to the house of God? Is this your secret prayer as you bow your head in your seat and ask the Lord? Whatever you ask the Lord is secret between your soul and him. But, dear friends, is there times when you're seeking some sweet token from his special love? Perhaps you've got promises or persuasions that drive you to the throne of grace from time to time, that he may fulfill or bring to pass or show you or support you under the trial of faith. Peter said, didn't he? But the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found. And it is found at the appearance of Jesus Christ. The Lord begins a work, dear friends, and he never leaves it undone. He supports his children under grace and by grace, and he makes known to them their interest. Dear friends, in him they become comforted by the word of truth. I was thinking of that word the apostle said, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. Dear friends, if you've got a pathway which is in front of you, and you wonder whether you should be brought through, or whether it will sink you into despair, should he bless your soul in these tribulated pathways with such a word as this? Well, you would never forget it, because it would be proved. Dear friends, but I'm sure of this, that in the trial of the way, or the tempting of the way, dear friends, surely there will be times when you'll go back to the words that are the comfort of your soul, that he's spoken to you, go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you. Why did he mention then, why did he separate Peter from the disciples, in word only, of course, to confirm to him that however sin or whatever depths of sin that he had fallen into, how he denied his Lord and Master. I look back on that chapter 14 and further back in verse 28, 29, 27, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, though all shall be offended, yet will not I. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, that this day, even this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Dear friends, he had his reminder that he was still weak. A child of God, dear friends, is strengthened in the strength that grace will be given, but it doesn't strengthen his old nature. Dear friends, it is his new nature, the new nature of grace, dear friends, which is upheld, supported, and delivered. And you'll come to prove, dear friends, what numerous religious people don't understand. You'll come to prove the old man is of no benefit to your spiritual life. No help in self I find, and yet has sorted well the native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. But I hope, dear friends, that you might examine yourselves. Have you these past seasons, times? Have you those times which you trusted was of God's grace and mercy? Can you look back on those times when he's spoken to you? Dear friends, are not pouring water over a comfort, but I'm sure this, whatever the Lord's work is, there'll always be something that shall distress you and trouble you. You see, there'll be no separation. People who read Romans 8 says it speaks of no separation as well as no condemnation. But you know, dear friends, you want to walk in such pathways. But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter. It is as though there's a special regard for the tempter, the temptations that Peter endured. Special regard, the comfort that comes from Jesus Christ. Restore that comfort. Tell him, tell his disciples and Peter. Dear friends, there'll be no separation for none of the children of God. They are in the covenant of grace and are eternally safe. But because they're in the covenant of grace, and because they are believers and comforted and taught by Jesus Christ through his Spirit, dear friends, they will be tried. And I'm sure this, dear friends, if there's such a soul in the house of God that can look back on these testimonies that have come from the lips of Jesus into the soul, I'm sure this, are not without trial. Oh, how shall it be, dear friends? It will be of little comfort if you could say to me that the blessings of his grace and mercy have never been tried. Dear friends, the blessings of his grace and mercy must be tried and will be tried. Be assured of this, dear friends. This is how we establish his work and truth within the soul, that it will stand the trial. The Lord Jesus, he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now that can only be said of Christ, of course, but it can't be said of us. Because, dear friends, you listen, I listen. I had one blessed evidence of that, you know. The Lord persuaded me to speak before the church concerning baptism. And the following, I arranged this church meeting, or they arranged it. The following morning I woke early, and it was as though Satan was telling me, you know, when you get to work, bring them up and say you've changed your mind. You've changed your mind, you're not going through with it. And he gave me the reason why I should change my mind. He said, you'll be made to look foolish before the people of God. Now the Lord intervened. And the Lord said this to me. No man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. Dear friends, if you and I are to go on, and I mean that in a spiritual sense, go on in the way, into spiritual life and spiritual experiences, you will need much grace. Dear friends, the Lord does give grace, and he will give glory. But dear friends, how often, how many times, dear friends, you'll come to that renewing of grace. Those who have anything to do with the house of God, those who preach the gospel, dear friends, it's a continued exercise. Dear friends, and how the burden of it lays them low. When you come to Sunday morning, and dear friends, you have two services or so before you, oh hell, the cry is, Lord, what shall I do? What shall I do? But dear friends, he's never a debtor to anyone. Dear friends, he appears, he provides, and the soul is comforted and helped. Go your way and tell his disciples and Peter. Peter, you may have sinned, but you didn't sin yourself out of the covenant, because it's impossible to do it. Peter's way and means, dear friends, well, you might condemn. If somebody said to you, you're a believer in Jesus, would you not bless him and thank him that it's his evidence so? We read that, and a little while after they stood by and said again to Peter, surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom ye speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. What a blessing, dear friends, to be affected by sin, your own sin. What a mercy, dear friends, if you tried by the reason of sin, and it makes you mourn. But dear friends, there's a way, there's a place, isn't there? And there's a blessed, a wondrous communion between Christ and his church. I've often been thankful for what we said as we began. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. He doesn't say he receiveth others. I looked at that in the Gospel of Luke yesterday, and it speaks about those two men that went to the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. And the publican cried, could not so lift up his eyes unto heaven, but cried, God be merciful to me, a sinner. His one desire, dear friends, was the Lord's pardoning love and forgiving mercy. Go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. Amen.
Willing, Mr. Burgess is expected to preach next Lord's Day and also hopes to address the Sunday School. And Mr. Philip Hare is expected to preach next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 321. My soul, Lord, inflame with zeal from above, thy praise to proclaim and sing of thy love, to lift up my voice in thanksgiving sincere, this truth to rejoice in, the Lord will appear. 321.
Dear Lord, own and bless thine own precious word. Forgive and pardon what has been amiss. Dear Lord, when we leave thy courts, take us under thy care. Bring us to our homes in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, remain with us, both now and forever. Amen.